Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Zero Emissions Corsa E with a range of up to 337 kilometres, it's simply electric.
First this morning, with level 3 restrictions imposed on Dublin on Friday and other counties being warned that they're on a knife edge, videos emerged on social media over the weekend of a large gathering taking place in Oliver Bond Flats in Dublin. And in a moment, we'll speak to Dublin City Councillor Manix Flynn. But first, I'm joined on the line by Dara McCullough, who is farmer, broadcaster and columnist with the Irish Independent. Good morning to you, Dara. Is Dara there? Can you hear me, Dara?
Morning, Claire.
Oh, there's a delay on the line, Dara. Now, Oliver Bond Flats, we're going to talk about in a moment, but it wasn't the only scene of a rave over the weekend. Will you tell us and take us through what happened to you yesterday morning after 6:30?
Yeah, well, needless to say, it was entirely unexpected. We were on the last lap of our harvest, our cereal harvest, and we've one field which is right beside the seaside, a beautiful field, I may add. And we had left it to the very end because we need to get the combine down onto the beach at low tide. And of course, the crop needs to be ready and the conditions need to be right. So a lot of planets need to align before we're ready to strike, as it were. So Monday morning was the morning, and we landed into the field ready to go with the combine and tractors and trailers and everything else, only to be greeted by a couple of hundred, I reckon, well, at least 100 ravers. They were having a great time. It was just the dregs of the party. And I should have seen the warning signs, Claire, because on my way down to the beach that morning, I got up early because I wanted to make sure that there's no cars going to be parked at the entrance to the beach where we need to get the combine through, which is 4 metres wide. So it's quite an awkward machine and it needs a lot of space. And when I got down, when I was driving down the road, I saw a group of stragglers at a bus stop, a random bus stop out in the middle of nowhere. I was going, where did those guys come out of? And I was thinking maybe they were working in the local nursing home. They did look a bit worse for the wear. I didn't think too hard about it and drove on to the beach car park. And there was about four or five cars already there. And this was just after 7:00. Dawn had literally broken. And I was thinking, mother of God, there's some people on the ball here fairly early this morning going out for their exercise or whatever. Again, thought nothing of it. But of course, it was all the stragglers and people who were attending this rave.
So you said there was a couple of hundred people by your estimation. So the party was obviously not really coming to an end, was it, at that point?
Well, I know that when I literally landed up, and I have a video there of when I landed literally into the site, the music was off and the guys were already packing away the decks.
Now, okay.
I mean, these guys were set up proper. They had vans, they had decks, they had huge amps and speakers. This was no messing. And I guess a degree of the crowd had dispersed as well.
And tell me, you're there on your own with your phone. Like, what did you do? What did you say to them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if it was mad or brave or what, but the kind of blood was up a bit. I mean, when you land into your field, actually, when I got to the gate of the field, there was a couple of lads down at the gate having a fag or drinking beer or whatever it was. And I thought, OK, here's a couple of lads now that have had a good night. And as I hopped out of my Jeep to approach them and tell them to clear off, they turned, did an about turn and headed up the brow of the hill towards the ruin. There's a ruin in the middle of the field, ideally located for an all-night party, may I add, overlooking the sea. But when I got up there, then my jaw hit the ground because I thought, okay, maybe there's 4, 5, 6, or 7 lads and had a good night. But like to be greeted by vans, taxis, literally, I mean, I didn't do a head count, obviously, but there was at least 100 people there when I got there. And it could have got ugly, you know, I mean, if there's booze involved and suddenly I land in and tell everyone to clear off that it's private property and they've no business here and we need to get cutting the crop, you know, it could have got ugly. But I was amazed, Claire, that, you know, basically everybody said, okay, sorry about that, and did an about turn and headed for the gate.
I'm just wondering what state the field was in. You had a crop in this field, right?
Yeah, I did. But they were the party was in the room, so they confined themselves to the room, and they weren't out trampling the crop. Okay, there was an odd beer can around the field, but like that's nothing new. And to be honest with you, a number of the party goers went around with black bin liners. They came prepared with black bin liners and picked up all their rubbish. So, and I got talking to a few of them because I wanted to make sure that no stragglers were hanging around. So I kind of escorted them off the site. And as I was walking along with the last of the lads, I struck up a conversation with them. Where are you from? What's the story? How'd you get down here? And all the rest of it. Turned out they were all Brazilian, and most of them were students, some professionals. I mean, there was five series BMWs there, Claire. So they, you know, they weren't all hard up students looking for a cheap night out.
And they all left of their own accord, or because they saw you there, most probably. So you didn't need to call the guards at that point.
I didn't call the guards, and I know that some people might be listening to this going, Dara, you should have called the guards because, you know, this is a contravention of the regulations on COVID and it's illegal and all the rest of it. But to be honest, Claire, that was the last thing in my mind at that particular point in time, until one of the guys, you know, thought I was such a sound farmer, he tried to give me a hug, and I said, whoa, I'm back off there now, pal. I have my limits to my niceness.
And just to be clear on this, what you saw when you walked up to the brow of the hill where the ruin is, you didn't see social distancing happening. Like, this was a party as we would remember a party being.
Exactly. Okay. Like, social distancing just wasn't in the equation. I mean, there was couples canoodling around the side of the wall. There was, you know, I mean, it was a good old fashioned knees up in Irish terms. Yeah.
Dara, thanks very much for telling us about it. Dara McCullough there. And let's go back now to that party which happened in Dublin. Dublin City Councillor Mannix Flynn, as I said, is with me. This was Oliver Bond Flats on Saturday night, Mannix.
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Yeah, this was Oliver Bond, Dublin City Council housing estate on Saturday night. And basically, you know, what you had here was you had an invasion from early evening of the setting up of the equipment, you know what I mean, well-organised gazebos and set speakers. You were, or Garda Síochána were called, you know, they came into the flats, they flung around, they did nothing, they drove back out, according to the witnesses who were there, who were the residents. And then the rave and the drug taking and the basically level of antisocial behaviour and breaches of COVID-19 went on until the early hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm. Did you get calls about it?
I got a huge amount of calls from it, a lot of stress calls from it. You know, a lot of people very disappointed, people leaving their homes, having to go elsewhere, people couldn't get out of their homes. It was simply an act of complete intimidation. You know, well organized, I say. And then the cleanup the following morning was huge drug paraphernalia, heroin, cocaine, you name it. And then not only that, but the whole noise aspect that came off of this. Something seriously wrong happened here. Dublin City Council, I mean, well, that other gentleman you were speaking to was on private land and he was probably in shock when he saw it all. Dublin City Council were aware from a very early stage what was happening here and never managed their estate. That gentleman there tried to manage his estate to the best of his ability. And unfortunately, he didn't call the guards at that particular point. But Dublin City Council were aware of this from a very early stage. And, you know, the abandonment of the local residents here. I mean, these homes, these are people's homes, Claire. And now they have to face a situation whereby they've got to walk through the blocks of flats in the area. And they don't know whether there is COVID-19 on the stairwells or on any of the steel or in the flats or in the play area where this rave took place. Mm-hmm. They're simply being abandoned. I'm calling on the Lord Mayor to go down to Oliver Bond Flats immediately and assure the residents and the tenants down there. I'm calling on Owen Keegan and Brendan and Kenny to immediately issue a statement that they support the residents here and that they'll put proper support in to stop these kind of issues. Okay. But again, Claire, the problem for me is this, is that are our young people, like, you know, that disconnected? Are we that disconnected from our young people? I mean, that gentleman spoke about a rave there where people were driving in on his land with high-end BMWs. There's something amiss here. There's something seriously wrong here where people are risking the life and the economy of the nation for a simple, you know what I mean, selfish night out. It's not good enough.
Yeah, the Gardaí say that there were no breaches of regulations detected and officers maintained a presence in the area. They say there was no complaints about the party starting up again. That's not what you experienced. I see Angus O'Snodig, the Sinn Féin TD, says he's going to contact Dublin City Council and the Garda Commissioner today in relation to his concerns. Are you going to do the same?
Absolutely. I am the vice chairperson of the Joint Policing Committee, so I'll be raising this at our meeting on Thursday. I'll also be raising it tonight to the Lord Mayor at our meeting in the Mansion House in relation to the budgetary meeting. And I'll be calling on the Lord Mayor tonight to go and visit Oliver Bond Flats and reassure the terrified tenants down there and the young people that every assistance will be given to them to ensure that this doesn't happen, not just on this particular estate, but the likes of Glover's Court in York Street. I mean, the residents down there are completely intimidated and terrified. And I can understand on Garda Síochána, Conor Clare, they're not there to manage estates. That's not their role. And I can understand the kind of statements that they put out. But I'm speaking to a lot of officers on the ground, and they're telling me the complete opposite to that situation. But what can they do with 200 youths high on drugs? They'd be a riot on your hands with no end of time. It's a very difficult place we're in at the moment, but somebody out there needs to get the message to these individuals that they cannot behave like this, and they cannot risk the health and the economy of the nation, and they certainly cannot intimidate the residents in Oliver Bond Flats.
Was this a random party? It wasn't set up for any particular reason, Mannix, that you're aware of?
No, this wasn't a christening, or it wasn't a, you know, balcony karaoke, or, you know, balcony bingo. This wasn't organised by the community or the residents. This was simply something that was kind of organised illegally, you know what I mean, and just set up. And because there was no estate management there, because there was nobody answering the phones in Dublin City Council to say, what's going on here? People are intimidated. You know what I mean? It's very difficult when you're trying to rear your family in a block of flats and individuals who can just simply wander in can threaten you. Mm. I mean, as I say, the vast majority of people here are excellent. I'm not trying to demonise youth culture, nor am I trying to stigmatise Oliver Bond Flats. My own family live down here, and they phoned me, like, from Bridgeford Street to say, what is going on down here? And they're elderly, and they also have young grandchildren. They're terrified of what's happening here, not just about getting COVID-19, but also about being intimidated. And this simply cannot happen. Where young folk are going to behave like this at this particular point in our history, when we're facing into a huge, you know, national health crisis and a global health crisis. I mean, these kids and these young adults that were there, they go home to their families. They've got brothers and sisters. They've got nieces and nephews, aunts and uncles and grandmothers. Have they any idea that what they're going to potentially carry to those houses? And do those people whose children they are, do they understand where they were the other night, either in Oliver Bond or down in the County Mead Farm?
Is it their fault, though, those young people? Is it their fault that they don't get the seriousness of this situation?
It's their responsibility to behave in a responsible manner. Do you know what I mean? These are not children. These are adults. These are young adults. Do you know what I mean? And it's a selfish way of carrying on. Of course, the old saying, you know, youth is wasted on the young by Oscar Wilde, and there's a whole kind of wildness about it. But the point of the matter is that this is contempt. This is nothing other than contempt. And we have to actually stand up here and say, excuse me, you cannot jeopardise the future of the many for the selfish of the few. And it's simple as that. But again, you know, the great and the good, you know, politicians of the neighbourhood, those that are activists, those that are in youth cultures and are advocating for more power for youth and more engagement with youth, need to step up to the mark here and tell our, you know, people that this is not on. You cannot behave like this. And again, I'd say, Claire, the amount of drugs paraphernalia, the amount of illegal activity that went on here is equally alarming. The amount of heroin that was found, the amount of needles that were found, the amount of cocaine parcels that were found, alcohol, and also this chemical that they're all taking was all over the flat complex. This is not just happening here, Claire. It's happening in other parts of Dublin City Council estates. And Dublin City Council have an obligation of duty of care to their residents and that tenant.
Okay, will you stay on the line there, Mannix, because I want to go now to Dr. Paddy Mallon, infectious diseases physician at St. Vincent's Hospital and also professor of microbial diseases in UCD. Dr. Mallon, thank you very much for joining us. I know you heard at least some of that there. What's your reaction to groups of young people congregating, particularly there the Oliver Bond Street flats party as described by Mannix? He says that they are in contempt, really, of what they're being told to do, what they're being asked to do, and the restrictions around COVID.
I suppose, you know, speaking purely from a medical perspective, it is disappointing. But I think that there's obviously issues going on with regards to what happened at the weekend beyond COVID, and I think it's you know, it's been well described by your previous speaker. A lot of the issues go beyond that towards drugs, intimidation. Really, wouldn't want to comment on that. Generally speaking, though, I do think that We need an all-of-society approach to this. Up until this point, it's been an all-of-society approach, and I just want to acknowledge the role that young people have played up to now in terms of getting us to where we were back in May and June. That was all a society, including young people, that made huge sacrifices in terms of their education, in terms of their freedoms, in terms of their social interactions. And now we're back at a point where we're asking all of society again to engage in some very difficult actions to get us back on track again. And that's going to include our young people pitching in and helping out. And I think by and large, what we're seeing are probably exceptions rather than the rule. Mm. I think that young people I've been very proud of the young people in Ireland up to this point. I think they've remained engaged. I think by and large, the young people I've come across do recognise the seriousness of this issue. They recognise the consequences of COVID to the implications to family and friends. So I want to really avoid taking the obviously very disappointing circumstances that were seen at the weekend and saying that means that young people in general in Ireland aren't on board with this.
It's really tricky though, isn't it? Because I think about, you know, the person that I was at 18 or 19, I'm not sure I would have listened to the advice either, or that I would have been overly concerned about it, or that I would have heeded advice to stop interacting socially with other people of my age at that time.
It's very difficult, and I think, you know, we've seen over the last couple of weeks a focus on younger people and a focus on the very old, and I think that a big burden of what's happening from a societal and an emotional and development perspective are hitting these two facets of our society. We have one part of our society who's very much in fear of contracting this infection and are probably having to focus more on issues around social isolation and loneliness. And then we have the younger people in our community here. As you say, we were all young once, and social interaction is really what thrives youth. You know, it's what drives a lot of our development as individuals, and we're asking a lot of them, and I think by and large they're stepping up to the plate. There's always going to be exceptions, but we really need to encourage everyone in society to roll in behind all of the efforts that everyone's making, because the faster we get these numbers down, then the quicker we can all start returning to some sort of normality, and the quicker that our young people can start getting the meaningful sort of interactions that they need.
I mean, would you say that we need to now start learning to live with the virus?
I think what we need at the moment, you know, it's pretty obvious from what's going on at the minute that this is not something that we're going to solve overnight. It's not going to be solved in the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's likely that we're going to be seeing this living with the COVID strategy extending well into next year. So as part of that, you know, what we need to do is not to be living in fear of this virus, because that is not living. We need to be in control of this infection as a society. And being in control of this infection means that we need to be learning how to develop ways that we can live safely. And that means developing ways that young people can socialize safely, developing ways that we can encourage interactions in safe environments for people that are older and more vulnerable. And we need to be thinking that at the minute, at the same time as the immediate steps that we need to take in Dublin and around the country to try and interrupt the spread of the virus that's happening at the moment. So we need to be working on this at a number of levels if we're actually going to make this living with the virus process successful.
Yeah, it's difficult to be wary of the virus, you know, not to be fearful of it, and to try and live with it. Surely you need a little bit of fear in order to make sure that people adhere to the rules that they need to adhere to stop the spread.
I don't know that I agree with that, Claire. I mean, I take a lot of the comparisons about COVID with many years working in HIV, and HIV is a viral infection that people live with and people can control. The approach to living with any infection and living with any long-term condition is acknowledging that you control it rather than it controlling you. And as a society, we cannot live in fear of COVID-19. What we need to do as a society is to take the measures that will control this infection and allow us to get on with our lives. And that's really the simple measures that Ronan Glynn has been putting across. These are really fundamental to getting the numbers down, because it's only by getting the numbers down that we're going to actually be in a position that we're going to be able to live safely with the virus. And that's what we need to do over the next couple of weeks, is to get those numbers down.
How do you feel about the pubs opening around the country outside of Dublin today?
I think that the pubs opening is something that was in the plan, and I'm glad that we have a plan. And I think that the people that are best advised as to whether that's a safe thing or not to do are NPHET and the government through the processes that they've set up. So I think that if the conditions are right around the country and NPHET decide that the conditions remain right for those to open, then I think that they should go ahead. And I would hope that over the next couple of weeks, if we can all pull together and implement the advice that Ronan Glynn and others have put forward to us, that we can see a return to safer social interactions in Dublin and start to see the pubs in Dublin opening up as they are around the country.
Paddy Mallon,
but
thank
obviously
you.
There's a, you know, it is the next couple of weeks that we really need to focus on getting those numbers down.
Absolutely, as Ronan Glynn has said quite clearly. Paddy Mallon, thank you for joining us on the programme today. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to the retired Assistant Commissioner for Dublin, Pat Leahy.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.